Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
The message today is God is good, but people are not. It's a pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? And I want to just kind of set up the message. I'm not talking today how we should just give up on mankind because they're all evil and bad and wicked, and we shouldn't look to, and we should just lose all trust in mankind. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we need to quit blaming God for what man does. Because a lot of people put their blame whenever somebody does them wrong. Well, I just don't know why God. When it's like, well, you're asking the wrong question. The reason is why that person did what they did. It's not God's fault. It's their fault. Because God is... Oh, come on. Do you believe it? God is... And so we can't put our blame and our aggravation on God whenever mankind does something. I've learned in life, as I know you have, because most of y'all have lived a lot longer than I have. In case you're joining us for the first time, I'm the student pastor, and I can get away with saying stuff like that every once in a while. My name's Josh. Nice to meet you. But some of y'all have lived a lot longer than I have, and I have learned in my short lifetime that I can count on God. I know that I'm young, but I've been through some, you know, not so good situations. And I faced things, and God has never let me down. And you, I'm sure, can say the same thing, because that's not what God does. God doesn't let us down because he's good. And I can trust in him. He's never lied to me. He's never mistreated me. He's never stolen from me. He's never cheated me, because he is. I've also learned that people, I can't put my trust in them. Because now, I will look around, especially in this group, and I see there's a lot of good men and a lot of good women. And so I'm not saying that there aren't people I don't think is good, but I have learned people will let us down. And we just got to, you know, face that truth. People will lie to you. People will cheat you. People will steal from you. They'll mistreat you. So my goal in today, like I said, isn't to lose all your trust in mankind because everyone's wicked and evil. The goal today is to, when they mistreat you, when they misuse you, when they wrong you, to don't put your blame on God. Don't get mad at God. Because the fact is, everything that happens on this earth isn't his will. See, there's a faulty teaching in the church, and a lot of times we get mad at God because of this teaching. And the teaching is, everything that happens on earth, God made happen. I've heard it. People, I don't know why God gave this person cancer. I don't get it, but he's God. So I don't know why God made this happen. I don't know why God took my child. I don't know why God this or why God that. And so because of this, we start blaming God, because we see that he's doing, if we believe everything on earth is his will, we look around and say, man, God is kind of mean. But the truth is, he didn't, in fact, not only is everything that happened on this earth not his will, the majority of things that happen on this earth is not his will. The majority of things that are happening on this earth, he didn't make happen. The majority of things, look, he didn't make it happen, he doesn't want it to happen, and he wants it to stop. That's God. That's who the God of the Bible is. Ever since the Garden of Eden, see, God made it pretty perfect. God made it good. Who messed it up? Mankind. And since that time, God has been trying to restore us back to his perfect will. Can I hear an amen? All right. See, this faulty teaching in the church that God makes everything happen, if that was true, you have a justification to get mad. But I can confidently say that God did not make someone steal from you. God did not cause men to murder other men. God does not cause evil men to rape. God does not cause these wars because these evil, wicked men are going around having acts of terrorism. These things are happening because the heart of man is not naturally good. In fact, without God, it's pretty bad. So we need to know that. Things that are going on this earth, God didn't make happen. Now, there are some things that, yes, God is sovereign. Now, I also don't want to get in the ditch and say that God's not sovereign, because he is. That sovereignty means he can do whatever he wants. I think it's Psalm 115 that says that God does what he pleases. He can do whatever he wants. He is sovereign. He is God. He knows all things. He sees all things. He is everywhere. He is sovereign. He is powerful. But that doesn't mean that he makes everything happen. That person lied to you because that person's evil, not because God is evil. God's good. People are not. Are y'all ready for today? Turn to Psalm 115. Now, I've been in countless conversations with people where they literally, I wouldn't have the nerve to do this because I'd be afraid God would smite me. But anyway, I know God doesn't just do that because he's good, but there's always that thought, what if? He can do whatever he wants if I say something stupid. Anyway, that's just the way my mind goes. But I've heard people say God can't be good. If God of the Bible is real, then he is wicked. He is evil. Because look around you. Look at the murder. Look at the rape. Look at the lying. Look at the wars all around you. God's not good. If the God that you say is all powerful and all this stuff's going on the earth, he's not good. And my reply to them is, the reason this stuff's going on is not God's fault. It's our fault. See, the world is in the shape that she's in because of man and not God. Look what Psalm 115 verse 16 says. The heavens are the Lord's heavens. We would agree with that, right? The second part of verse 16 says, but the earth he has given to who? The children of man. He's given the earth to the mankind. And so the things that go on earth, whose fault are? God's given it to man. In the garden we see that. He gave it to Adam and Eve and said, all right, Adam, this is yours. You can have it. You rule, you have dominion, you reign, you do what you need to do. And I see a lot of people, though, who are turning in the church. Now, I'm not saying this church, but I have seen in church history that people leave the church because of something man did, and they say, God let me down. And so they get mad at the church and they leave. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time to, you know, some churches you may need to leave, because there are people in that church that aren't doing things right. So I understand there are times for that. But don't say God's bad and just completely turn your back on the things of God. And it's rampant. It's all over. I've probably met more individuals who grew up in church and said, God just let me down, and turned their back on God, than I have met people who are living in sin and never heard about God. It's all over the place. And knowing that it's the statistics are very high on people who leave the church because some human let them down is so high, we need to know here at CMC, if someone lets you down, because even the staff at CMC, they're human and they can screw up. We all know the youth pastor can. Quit laughing, Ben. Gosh. And that was way not near as funny as you made it. But the staff can let you down. And leadership in the church can let you down. But don't turn your back on God. There may be times where you have to leave that relationship. But don't lose your relationship with God and let that relationship falter. Because that's like kicking your dog for your cat scratching you. Don't make no sense. Doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to kick my dog because my cat did something. I may kick my cat every once in a while just because it's a cat. But no, I'm kidding. Ruth, I'm kidding. She's looking at me like, you are probably going to hell if you do that. No. I'm kidding. But it doesn't make sense to punish someone for what somebody else did. And we do that as humans. It's in our nature. You know why it's in our nature? Because we're not good. Right? So let's not do that. The world, again, is in the shape that it's in because of man. I'm going to say that a whole lot this morning because it's not in our society. In our society, who do they put the blame on? God. Atheists who say they don't even believe in God put the blame on God. And religion is like, How can you put the blame on someone who you say you don't even believe in? The fact is, I believe they do believe in him. They just hate him. All right. Jesus came to fix what man messed up. Jesus came to fix this situation that we're in. See, it's so important to understand this, because if we don't have a good grasp on it, we'll start allowing ourselves to blame God for what that jerk down the road did to you, and we'll leave. Psalm 115, verse 16 says, "The things of earth he has given to man. God has the heavens. The Lord, the heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man." What that means is what takes place on earth is done because of our own actions. God gave man free will. And as much as I hate to admit it, that means that that gives mankind the free will to murder. It gives them the free will to accept him, to live for him, but it also means that a person has the God-given right to murder someone. Now, that's the way we don't like to think about it, but the fact is it's true. Because if we can look at the fact that God has given us the right to live righteous, he's given us the free will to choose him, and we accept that, and yeah, come on, God's given you the free will to accept his son Jesus. God's given you the free will to do what's right, to help your brother, to help your fellow man. We have to accept the opposite of that and know that he is given the free will to deny him and live the opposite of his will and his desire. Not everything on this earth is his plan. Turn to Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, you got your phone, scroll to Romans chapter 12. Have you ever been wronged by anyone? Stinks, doesn't it? There's been a time, I'm going to just give a testimony while you're turning to Romans 12. You know, a lot of y'all have been a part of CMC for a while. Y'all have heard a story about me talking about my grandpa who's in a wreck. He was a good man. He was a godly man. He was in a wreck. A truck driver pushed him off on the side of the road and just kept going. It's kind of a sad deal. And it messed him up pretty bad. He was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, hospital bed the last like 3 years of his life. And there was a time in my life where I was so mad at God because of that. I was at a revival. I left. I walked outside. And I literally, like, I was kind of nervous what was going to happen after this, because I thought I may just lose my salvation. I don't know. I thought I was going to be blaspheming pretty bad. But I walked outside. I said, "God, I am so mad at you. I do believe you're God, but I am mad at you. I am ticked that this has happened. I've prayed for my grandpa. We've anointed him with oil. We've prayed, we've prayed, we've prayed, and nothing has happened. I believe. Not only did I pray, but I prayed and I believed. And nothing happened. And that doesn't make sense. And so I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you." And all this frustration and this anger, I didn't know who to point it at, so I just pointed it at God. And I walked outside. I'm saying, "God, I don't understand you. You blah, blah, blah." And I got mad. I walked back into the service, and I sat down, and I started kind of pouting. I think I was 18, but I started pouting. I put my arms over my chest like this. I sat down, and I said, "God," everybody was worshiping, time of worship. And I sat down, and I said, "God, I'm not even going to worship you. You know my heart anyway, and I just don't want to worship you because I'm mad at you." I sat down, and this song came on. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's "Through the Fire" by Jason Crabb. That song came on. If you know that song and the situation that I was in, you can see how God used that to speak specifically to me, because the beginning of it goes on and says something to the sense of, when trials and tribulation come my way, that's when my frustration gets out of hand and blah, 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 just things like that. It says a few more things and goes on to say that, "But he never promised that the cross would not get heavy, but he would take us through the fire." And I had to realize that situation that was going on with my grandfather that we were in, it wasn't because of God. It was because a man was a man, he had a weakness, he got sleepy, he got tired, whatever it was, and a mistake happened. He didn't purposely hurt my family, it was a mistake. But a man did it, so my frustration wasn't on, after that song came on, I said, "Okay, God, I'm not mad at you," and I just started crying out to God and worshiping him. And from that point on, that God taught me a lesson right there in that moment. And that's where this message kind of stems from in my heart, that there is never a justifiable reason to be mad at God. And I had to turn my, and whenever things happen that I don't understand, when my loved ones get sick, when my loved ones, whatever it may be, or someone does me wrong, right then my mind always goes back to that moment where God spoke to me and said, hey, I didn't make this happen, but I also didn't promise that life was always going to be easy. But I am your refuge. I am sufficient for you. We had a men's seminar yesterday. It was great. The men that came who worked on that, y'all did a great job. But the whole message was, he is strong in our weakness. And Paul says that in my weakness, then I am strong. See, he says, your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is good enough for me, God. I have this thorn in my flesh, and I have begged you 3 times to remove it. It's not removed yet. You know what? Your grace is sufficient for me. And he says, God told me, Christ told me, that in my weakness, then his power is made perfect and complete. And that's the attitude that we have to go in whenever we face these bad situations. Remember, God's the good one. God's the one that can help us. God's the one that's our refuge. God's the one that we run to. And it's not who we put our blame on, which that's where our hearts go so often. Romans chapter 12. Knowing that God doesn't make everything happen on this earth and that bad things happen on the earth and we're in situations that isn't according to God's will, what do we do? How do we understand? Verse 2, chapter 12, gives a good outline here. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Why should we not be conformed to this world? Because the things going on in this world isn't of God. If everything was going on in the world was God's will and his perfect plan, this verse makes zero sense. So the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because everything happening in this world is not his will. If it was his will, be conformed to it. If everything that was going on, we just accept, we said this person's sick, all right, well, we just accept it. We're going to conform to what's going on in this world because it's God's will. But the Bible tells us not to do that. Don't be conformed to the things of this world, but instead, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Let's stop there for just a second. Why does our minds have to be renewed? Because a man's mind, and I'll go on and say a woman's mind as well, although a woman's mind is, you know, a lot better than a man's, but it's still wrong sometimes. That's scary to say. But the truth is, mankind, man, woman, our minds don't think right. And our minds aren't of God. And they don't think like God. Therefore, we have to not be conformed to our normal way of thinking, the world's way of thinking, and let it be renewed and transformed into the mind of who? The mind of Christ. And we've said this before, to think like a man is to think like Satan. That may sound weird, but maybe you've heard what I've said before. There's a story in Scripture where Jesus told Peter, what did he say? He said, get behind me, who? Satan. Then he goes on to say, you're thinking like a man. Therefore, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking like a man. He's talking to Peter. To think just like a mere man is to think like Satan. And so our minds have to be renewed and transformed into the mind of Jesus Christ. Because our mind doesn't think right. I've been in situations where my mind automatically goes to the worst. My mind automatically goes to thinking like a man. My mind goes into, well, that ain't right, blah, 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 blah. And my mind turns from the mind of Christ, and I start looking more like the world. And that's when I got to, hey, listen up here, Josh. You need to shift gears and let my mind go to the mind of Christ. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. My little add-in, I know it says not to add or take away to Scripture, but I'm not adding to the principle here. Do not be conformed to this world because the world is wrong. Not according to my will, not my desire, and to think like a man is to think wrong. All right, goes on to say that be transformed by the renewal of your mind, to Jesus' mind, to think of the mind of Christ, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. That right there kind of lays out the whole message. We are to discern by testing by discerning what is the will of God. Along with earlier part of that verse, this tells us that there are some things that's His will, and we're to discern what His will is, and the other things we don't know that they aren't His will, right? Because it says we need to discern what is His will. But if everything was His will, there's no reason to discern what is His will. If everything that's happening on this earth is His will, then this verse makes no sense. We might as well cut it out and throw it away. Because it says we have to discern and figure out what His will is. Here's what you can know. The last part of this verse tells you what His will is like. His will says what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Well, that right there tells you His will. His will is good. Why is His will good? Because God is. His will is acceptable. His will is perfect. So whenever we're trying to discern what is God's will, we need to sit down and say, okay, God, give me the Spirit. I got to renew my mind. I don't want to think like a man. I want to think like Christ. And in this moment, I'm in this bad situation. I'm having this trouble, and I need the mind of Christ. And you discern that situation that you're in, and you say, okay, is this good? Is this acceptable? And is this perfect? And if the answer is no to those, I can guarantee you that's not His will. It's not His desire. Because His will, there are two places in Scripture that we know operated and operate now according to His perfect will. That is the Garden of Eden. That was His will. The way He created the earth, that was His will. And since we messed that up, His will we see in heaven. That is His perfect will. Those are the two places we know is His perfect will. On earth, we can't say that, but those two places we can. That's why Jesus said, when we pray, this is how you pray. He says, pray, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because obviously, as in heaven, in heaven, that's your perfect will. And so whenever you're in a situation, when you're facing someone, you can discern, is this like heaven or is this like the earth? Is this God thinking or is this man thinking? So I'm going to discern what is good, what is acceptable, what is pleasing right now in this moment. Boy, Romans 12 verse 2, that just blows away a lot of people's theology. You know what? This one verse right here brings a lot of clarity to situations that we face in the earth. Do you agree? Amen. All right. Well, that means I can move on. I said in this verse, transform your mind, which is to transform the way you think. And we are to transform the way we think into the way Jesus thinks and the way Jesus operated. And here's what I can tell you about the way Jesus thought, because we can know Jesus. First off, we can know Him personally, intimately, through His Spirit, but we can also look at Scripture, and that's a great way to get to know Jesus, is read the historic documentation of a man's life. And Jesus was a man. And we see the historic documentation. As we read about Jesus, we can see the way He thought, and He never blamed God one time. In fact, He didn't even put a lot of blame. He didn't get too mad at man when it was man's fault. Whenever He was on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. And whenever He was in bad situations, which Jesus was in bad situations, you read through the Gospels. With the internship, the Leaders Academy, I teach the Life of Christ class, and so it's my favorite class to teach because we get to really get into the man Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. But before anything else, our foundation is who Christ is, right? And so we get really deep talking about what Jesus did, how He operates, the things that He does, His attitude towards other people, things like that. Jesus, some of the situations He was in, they didn't want to just kill Him at the cross, and they didn't just try to kill Him at the cross. There were several times where they tried to kill Jesus. There were several times where they wanted to persecute Jesus. There's one time where they tried to gather Him together and throw Him off a cliff. Another time they wanted to stone Him. No, they wanted to kill Him several times. And He would get away. Whether He did it because He was real sneaky or by the power, supernatural power of God, He just got away. I don't know. But anybody who can walk on water can probably get away pretty sneaky, I'd say. But whenever He would leave those moments, a lot of times He would go by Himself and pray. A lot of those moments He would get away. And we never see Him going away and bowing down before God and saying, God, why are you doing this to me? We never say, God, you're so mean. Why can't you just help me? These people, I'm coming to die for them. Why have you put me in this situation? We don't ever see that. We don't see Jesus saying, man, God, you are a jerk and I'm mad at you. And so to put in thought our thinking like Jesus is to say, God, you're good. I look to you because you are holy. I understand people are fallen. People are not good, but God, you are. That's the way Jesus thought, and that's the way we are to think. Church, I want to encourage you today, as we go out and we live our life, don't get mad at God. If you are mad at God, confess that to God. If you get mad at him, say, God, look, I don't understand this, and I'm confused. But if we get mad at God and we put our blame on God, we can't look to him for help. It's hard to receive help from someone that you think is a jerk. And I'm going to be honest, I've been in that situation where somebody did me wrong, and then they, we know when somebody tries to be real nice to you, then they do you really wrong, really dirty, and then they turn around and they try to be your best friend. It's like, get away from me. Nuh-uh. And in our man thinking, the way we think naturally is, you did me dirty, get away. And whenever we start looking at God like, no, God, you did this, and he tries to help us, whatever, God. We got to understand the goodness of God so we can receive help and refuge from God. People have said, if God's so good, then why is there so much wrong in the world? Well, here's the thing. If you haven't figured it out by now, I don't think you're going to get it in the sermon. If we don't understand why bad things happen by now, from what we've said, from what we've been talking about, you may just need to talk to somebody else, because obviously I'm not doing a good job at communicating. It's man's fault. It's man's fault. But this lies the root of our problem. Men are wicked or evil. Jesus himself said that what? He said, none are good but God. None are good. Who are those magicians? I was thinking about this right before church, and I didn't have time to write it down. Those magicians, that one's real tall, the other one doesn't talk. Ben and Teller. Okay, who's the big one? The one that talks. Anyway, I don't know. The one that talks, the big one with the long hair. I watched an interview with him and a Christian, and the magician was saying, good. Men are good. Mankind, they're good. And I try to look at the goodness of man, and the Christian's like, I'm going to have to disagree with you. Men are not good. Men are not naturally good. You put a bunch of babies in a room, and if they could somehow, we could sustain their health and allow them to grow up, somebody would be dead because they would kill each other. It's not the whole just the stealing. If they were to grow up, somebody wouldn't make it because they'd be like animals and they would just try to destroy one another. That's what men do. That's what men do. We just try to just... So by ourselves, mankind is not good. If men was good, there wouldn't be the murder of millions of babies. If men were good, there wouldn't be rapes and not just murder of babies, but homicides, all these different things. It wouldn't be. Men are naturally bad. Therefore, we need God, and we need to understand that so we can understand the bad situations that we're in. So in thinking about this and praying about this and seeking the Lord, there are a few responses that I've found in my life help me out when I'm in a bad situation. Whenever mankind does me wrong, when someone treats us bad, when we're lied to, we're stolen from, we're cheated on, whatever it may be, whatever we face, these are just four responses today that are going to help you through that situation. These four situations. Now, these four responses, there are more than these four, okay? It's not like these four are it and that's all you have to do, but these four in my life, I found gets me through it. And I think it'll help you too. You ready for this? Here are the four. A few responses whenever bad people do bad things to us. The first one kind of goes along with what I've been saying. We are to look to God and remember his goodness. I've been in those situations where these bad things happen and I have to remind myself, God, you're still good. And that same grandpa, he used to say something all the time. He'd say, God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. And whenever I'd see him, he'd be in his hospital bed, not being able to move or do anything himself. You walk in the door, first thing he says, God is good. Yes, he is. And that did something to me. If a man who's in a hospital bed can say, hey, God's still good, then I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, you're right, God is good. But whenever these bad things happen, when people mistreat you, always remember God is good. Count your blessings. Have you ever heard that old song? I grew up in a church where we still sing a lot of hymnals. There's a song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. It works. Whenever somebody wrongs you, yeah, you're right. You've been treated badly. But God, you've done this for me. You've given me a great marriage. You've given me children who I love and adore. You've given me friends. You've given me a good job. You've given me a home. You've given me shelter. You've given me food. God, you are good. And in that bad situation, you can start saying, you know what? God, you're good. Things are great in my life. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, says, God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in time of trouble. Why is God good? Because he's our help when others aren't. When you're in that bad situation, you need to remember that this psalm. God, you are my help. You are my refuge. But if we're mad at God, we can't say, God, you're my help. You're my refuge. But I'm ticked at you. That doesn't work. But we look to God in those bad situations. We say, God, you are good. You're holy. You've given me all things that are good and pertain to life and godliness. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, says, everything created by God is good. Everything created by God is good. So whenever we have bad things in our life, we can't say, okay, God, this is bad and you've given it to me. But we can look to God and say, look, this is bad. It's not from you. Take it from me. You're my refuge. You're good. You can take this from me. You're good. You're just. So we look to God, remember his goodness through our bad situation. Second one. This one is just a practical one that Pastor Ashley has said to me over and over and over again. And now it's finally in my heart, and it took a while for it to get in my heart. But when a bad person does you wrong, or someone who just made a mistake and done you wrong and you're in a bad situation, we have to remember, especially unbelievers live in a fallen state, and they will do you wrong. When you expect something, it's not quite as hard of a blow. But when a bad person does something, you know they're bad. You know unbelievers are going to treat you wrong. So don't be surprised when unbelievers treat you wrong, because God is good, but people are not. I'm not surprised if a jerk outside of the church and outside of God's will acts like a jerk to me. What's really hard is whenever a Christian does that. And when a Christian does that, that's when we go, okay, God, they did forgive them. Let's go reconcile this. But if we have this attitude knowing that unbelievers live in a fallen state, don't be surprised next time a Muslim terrorist group attacks someone. Don't be surprised. That's what they do. They don't have God. And without God, the Bible says that our righteousness are like a pile of filthy dung rags. I'm not going to get specific with that, but that's gross. And without God, that's what we're like. And so without God, that's what they're like. So don't be surprised if they're acting that way. And that's helped me. That just took a load off my shoulders. God, I don't understand why this is going on. Oh, wait, I do understand. They don't know you. And because they don't know you, they're going to operate this way. And when a believer does this, that's whenever you slow down and you say, okay, how can I reconcile this? How can I go and make this right? 1 John says, I forgot to write down the verse. Well, it's somewhere in 1 John, and it's not that long, so just read 1 John. You'll find it somewhere in there. 1 John, somewhere, some verse in 1 John, says, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Don't, obviously God found, thought it was a good idea to put this in scripture to encourage us and to make us think right. He says, don't be surprised when people mistreat you. Don't be surprised if they hate you. And whenever we're going about our day, we need to realize that people do hate you. They don't like you. Jesus, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So just don't be, we don't see Paul and Silas being bound up in the jail going, God, I hate these Roman soldiers and I hate these people. They understood that they were fallen, and because they understood they were fallen, then they could turn their mind to, God, let's get them saved. Come on, let's get revenge for this. Let's get them saved. And instead of whining around crying that people were mistreating them, they started worshiping God. They started saying, Pastor Kevin at the men's conference said this yesterday, and I want to steal it. I wanted to steal it and pretend like I came up with it, but I couldn't. But he said, Paul and Silas sang in prison. We can't even sing in worship sometimes. It's like, oh, that's good. That's kind of, that'll step on your toe, won't it? Paul and Silas was in a bad situation because people are bad and they treated them wrong. Yet they were able to worship the Lord through it because they realized that they are fallen, that they're not in right standing with God. And if you're not, I mean, if you are in the same situation, you're not in the same situation. You're not being thrown in prison and beaten and all that kind of stuff. But let's say you're in a bad situation. You're getting made fun of, or people are not treating you right. Your boss, who's a heathen, isn't treating you right. Your teacher, who's an atheist, y'all young men and women who are in school, and you're just getting treated bad. Realize that they're not in good connection with the Lord, and worship God anyway. All right, let's move on. Third one. These are just some practical steps. I think this is a pretty practical one. Try to understand the situation when you're wrong, when a bad person does you wrong, or someone out of the, instead of living according to the Lord's will, living according to their own will, they treat you bad. Maybe they're not bad people, and maybe they're not trying to treat you bad. You just don't understand the situation. And I've been there. I'm like, oh, they're fallen. They're not good people. They're bad. They're not thinking like Christ. But I step back and I think about it and I judge the situation, and these people didn't even try to do me wrong. It was just a situation that I don't understand. And whenever you're in these bad situations that we're kind of talking about, if something like that is to happen, don't just start making assumptions and saying they're bad. They're fallen. They're in a fallen state. That's what Josh said to do. They're fallen. They're evil. They're wicked. God, I'm looking to you to help me in this situation. If you were to look at the situation, maybe you're to blame in some of that situation. And we need to step back, and look at the big picture of what's going on. The Bible says in James 1, verse 19, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Josh, you said it yourself. God's good, but people are bad. And this person treated me bad, and they've wronged me. Step back. Don't be slow to speak. Don't be slow to anger, or don't be quick to speak. Don't be quick to make assumptions, and seek the Lord, because the aggravation, that mankind just getting angry and mad at a situation does not produce the righteousness of God. And what are we supposed to do? What's our job? To produce the righteousness of God. From the garden, mankind screwed it up, and for the past 6,000 years, God has been restoring the earth back to his kingdom through Jesus. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Here's the kingdom. And we are now living in the kingdom, so our job is to live according to the kingdom, and just being angry at bad situations doesn't produce the kingdom. It doesn't produce right standing with God. So we step back, we look at the situation, and say, God, it's not that big of a deal. Let's actually look at it. These bad people who are wicked and mean actually aren't bad people. They've just there's a misunderstanding, whatever it may be. Don't allow this sickness, this anger to get in your heart that's going to cause you to operate outside of the righteousness of God. Last thing, I'm going to wrap up with this. Last thing, God is good. The Bible says his love, his mercy endures forever and ever. He's slow to anger. He's quick to forgive because he's good, right? And people aren't so good. Knowing that, our job in this whole situation is to see the bad in the world, to see what's wrong, to see what's not good, and to fix it. Christians are fixers. They're not people who tear things up. Now, I have definitely torn up a few things in my life. But as a Christian, our job is to see what's going on that's bad in the world and try to fix it instead of add to it. Whenever we say God is good but people are not, we should not be saying God is good but God's people are not good. We try to justify our bad actions because I'm just a person. That's not the kingdom of heaven, and that's not how we are to operate. Amen? Are you still awake? You with me? I know it's kind of a drowsy, wet day, but we're called to fix the problems on this earth by the power and the... If we were not, Jesus wouldn't have said, go, therefore, make disciples, heal the sick, cast out demons. Those are problems of a fallen state, right? And we are to come, go out and fix those problems. God's calling us to do something great because there's a lot of bad in the world, but God's calling you to bring in and usher in the good. How do we do that? By the power of God, because God is good, people are not, but us with God can go out and produce the good. Yeah, does that make sense? That's our job, church, to go out today and produce the good because of God in us who is good. Amen.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.